The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Hey, good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment, but in her place. Well, nobody will ever take her place, but sitting in here, sitting on her stool today is Command Sergeant Major Ted Leidy, retired Army Command Sergeant Major Ted Leidy. Good morning there, buddy.
Good morning.
And, of course, we have Eric is here, and but Eric can't talk right now because we've got a full studio, and all of the microphones, all 35 of them have been taken. And so good morning, everybody. Phone line's here, 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. 7 after 7 here today on August the 7th. 777, huh? 07. 077.
No, it's 8.
No, it's 7 after 7.
It's 7 after 7, 707, yeah, good for you.
07.
We worked on that all morning.
0707.
Oh, that's excellent.
And that's military time that you guys probably forgotten at this point in your life. Hey, we're here today. Good morning, everybody. Hand me the weather, Eric, since I took away your microphone here and gave it to this beautiful young lady. It's currently 75 degrees, and today, areas of smoke, you'd think, before 11 a.m., mostly sunny with a high near 95. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 11 p.m. Hey, we might get a little rain tonight, but then again, you know, it's one of those things where you get lots of lightning strikes out there, right? We don't want those. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 94 and a little smoke in the air. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 66. Sunday, sunny with a high near 95. Sunday night, mostly clear. And even though it looks like maybe a slight chance of showers on Tuesday and Wednesday. Wouldn't that be great, some showers out here? That'd be super. Hey, weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a better-known business right here in town where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Give them a call at 365-3793. Discounts for seniors and veterans, always. So how you doing there, Mr. Leidy?
Man, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me this morning.
Well, you know, it was just, you know, after last night, I wasn't sure if I'd see you this morning.
Oh, no, you don't need to worry about me last night. I was on time and on target.
I was talking about after you had left. After you had left last
home.
Night, I went straight. Well, how I doubt that. I mean, but okay.
I went to the Red Lion.
You went to the Red Lion. it's a joke going on.
I was getting my Dougie on.
Getting your Dougie on? What's a Dougie?
It's a dance.
Oh, it's a dance. The Dougie dance. All right.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like
last your, night at
Elements. It's like your generation's Cabbage Patch.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Do you know what Cabbage Patch is? Oh, she does. Okay, we're going to get to her in a couple of seconds here.
Excellent.
Hey, a lot of things going on. Of course, last night we were talking about Linda was singing at Elements Lounge out at Wind River, and I mean, the place was full, and the band was going, people were dancing. I mean, it was good. Good time last night. Food was good. Everything. It was great. And thanks a lot to Wind River Resort and Casino. You know, they have Linda there the first Thursday of every month, and we have a great time there. Okay. If it's Friday, of course, we have our friends from Haven Humane. And today we have a house full. Besides our friend Spencer,
good morning.
And we have with him a Camp Love a Pet teacher. A named Jordan. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning.
Getting a little bit closer there, hon. How old are you?
I'm 11.
You're 11. And how much would you say you weigh? I mean, just kind of thinking. I mean, you probably don't weigh yourself because you 11-year-olds don't weigh themselves. But, you know, what, 60 pounds, 70 maybe?
Like 75.
Maybe 75. Okay. And the dog you had at Camp Love a Pet name was, is?
King Midas.
King Midas. Now, how much do you think King Midas weighs?
60 pounds.
60 pounds of romping, stomping, affectionate pit bull, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and you love this dog?
Yes.
And that dog obviously loves you. So how did you take a 60-pound pit bull and take care of him and make him obey and sit down and follow you around and all that?
Well, he loves being pet, and so I kind of just give him a lot of love and get him used to being around people, and he loves people. He was hit by a car, and so he's not afraid, and he still loves people.
He got hit by a car. Is that how he came into Haven Humane?
Yeah, he came in as a stray that was unfortunately hit by a car when he came in. He was seen by our vet, and they took really great care of him. And
wow, he is just, you can't tell.
Yeah, even when he was hit by a car, even the vet put in a note in the computer about what a happy dog this guy was.
Look at him. Right now, he is sitting up. He's got his paws up on Spencer's lap, and his tail's just a wagging, and he just wants to be hugged. But I notice he's keeping that eye on the... keeping an eye on the sergeant here, the command sergeant major, just in case, because it looks like he may have food over there.
Yeah.
Okay. What a great-looking dog. Oh, my gosh. And Jordan, you know what? You did a great job with him. Look at that. I mean, you know, he obviously sensitized him to being a good dog. So what kind of family could have King Midas?
We have him rated for a home with kids 8 and older, just because he is still pretty young, so he gets bouncy from time to time, and he really loves to play. So he would do fine with younger children, and we would just want to do a proper child introduction.
Well, you know what, that's you know, it's true, because you know he comes up and he is very inquisitive. He's got, look, right now he's looking around the room. He crawled in here, which was funny. I mean, he just crawled in here looking around saying, oh, well, what's going up here? Now, this dog is available. Is the dog available?
The dog is available for adoption.
Okay. Jordan, so what kind of trick did you teach King Midas?
Well, he can sit, lay down.
Talk into the microphone.
He can roll over.
He can roll over?
Yeah.
Okay.
He can jump up on, like, a bench if you want him to.
Oh, okay. We won't have him jump up on the table with us right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And so would you trust this dog?
Yes.
Would you take this dog to your house?
Yes.
You know what? This is cool. This is cool. And you've got so many others, right, Spence?
We do. We have lots of other animals there at our shelter as well. We still have quite a few Camp Love a Pet dogs that we would love to have forever homes by tomorrow's graduation. Midas is a dog that did go through camp. Camp graduates tomorrow. So if you're interested in adopting him, you could adopt him today and take him home with you tomorrow.
Okay, let me ask another question. How is he with other animals?
With other dogs, he is great with them. He just comes up to him, gives him a little sniff, and then he starts licking them all over. He does not like cats. Or I should say he likes cats too much. He wants to eat kitties.
Oh, but I don't know if we wanted to say it exactly that way.
Well, we want people to be aware, you know. I mean, he's great with other dogs. That doesn't mean that he's a bad dog. He's good with other dogs. He's great with other dogs.
So if you have feral cats in your neighborhood, you don't have to worry about it coming into your yard.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Now, see, Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane, when I say things like that, he just covers his face like that. And, you know, now, so King Midas comes up to another animal, gives him, you know, sniffs him, and then gives him licks. Right?
Yes. Yep.
You know, it's very much like Ted Leidy. I noticed that last night at Elements Lounge. That gave a little sniff in your ear and then just kind of licked her face, and then they were friends forever.
I was thinking about taking King Midas home, but once I heard the cat thing, how do you think that'd go with Lisa?
Ooh. Well, just don't tell her. Just say, cat disappeared.
Oh.
But I got you a dog instead.
And look what happened.
Look what happened.
They must have got out.
This is a great looking... I tell you what, I would take this dog home.
That dog
under a little bit different circumstances, I'd take this dog home. That tail's been wagging ever since. It is a beautiful, beautiful brindle dog. Not even brindle. It's kind of gray.
He's a blue brindle.
A blue brindle with gray and white. Okay. If you want a dog, and I tell you what, to walk down the river trail, no...
No problem.
Nobody's going to have a problem with that, because he's just going to walk and he's happy. He looks like he's got a big smile on his face.
He does. He's always got a big
smile. Let's find a home for King Midas today. What do you think, Jordan?
I want him to have a great home. He deserves it.
He deserves it. Honey, you are really sweet. It's really nice what you do. You're volunteering and all this. That's great. Okay. Anything else?
Well, I do want to just throw out there that we still have about 40 spots available for our $20 Chihuahua spays or neuters. It's for the month of August. So if you have a Chihuahua out there that's not spayed or neutered, you can get it done for only $20 this month. There's only about 40 spots left. So if you're interested in taking part of that, stop by the shelter. You'll need to prepay for it and schedule your appointment.
Okay. There you go.
Why do you focus on Chihuahuas on that campaign?
It was actually a grant that we received from PetSmart Charities, and they specify what the grant is used for. So we do them, sometimes we do them for pit bulls. It just all depends on what the grant specifies that the funds be used for.
Okay. Do you see a lot of Chihuahuas come through the shelter?
A lot.
Yeah. It's amazing, because when I always talk about getting another dog, it's usually a Chihuahua.
Yeah, I would say that the number two breeds that come through our shelter are pit bulls and Chihuahuas.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot. Everybody knows where you can go down and give us the number, phone number.
241-1653.
There you go, 241-1653. Jordan, thank you so much.
I hope you've
brought some order to this, to these two guys here, and they're running around. It's nice to see somebody knows what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
Take care of them all the way back to the shelter, okay?
Thank you for having us.
All right. Don't make any stops.
Let's get King Midas adopted. Thank you, Jordan. Thanks, Mark, Spence. Hey, we got to take a break here. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, we have the barbecue bottles have showed up at the plant now, and we have an exchange program if you're in a hurry. Gary, Mad Dog Stallone, and Rhett are waiting to help you. Robin also has propane exchange at Corning, so stop by and let her show you. Joe is filling tanks and motorhomes at Weaverville, so come in and say hello. We have all the bulk oil tanks full at the Redding plant, and everything from tractor hydraulic to synthetic motor oils and lubes. Before the boys run off to the fires, check your tanks and levels and give Danny a call. We deliver about everywhere. A special thank you to all the companies and individuals who donated to the 4-H FFA Community Barbecue. It was very hot, but it turned out to be a great success. Thanks from all of us at Northern Lights Energy. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality health care is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
This summer, we can all save energy and money together. Your Redding Electric Utility would like to remind you that you may qualify for one of the many rebates available for upgrading your appliances, adding insulation and window screens, or making other energy-saving improvements to your home or business. Please visit reupower.com to learn how you may earn a credit on your electricity bill. Save energy, save money. Remember, reupower.com, brought to you by REU, where Redding is powerful together.
Shake it up. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, 7:20 in the morning. Carl Bott and Ted Leidy here today. Ted's coming in to be my guest co-host today. Phone line's here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. It is, again, 21 minutes after 7 o'clock. 75 degrees out there, going up to 95. Okay, let's talk smoke. A lot of smoke problems out there, my friends. In fact, when the smoke gets to 3 miles, thank you very much, Onion Grower, visibility got as low as 3 miles yesterday. When that happens, CAL FIRE will not operate fixed wing or helicopter firefighters. Mercy and Shasta Regional medical helicopters will not operate either, even though that it's, you know, completely different groups of people and they're not interconnected. But without that 3 miles of visibility, and they're handing out smoke masks in a lot of places around here. And if you can just go outside yesterday, when I got out yesterday morning, the sun was red and the smoke in the air. I think today, I don't know, when you came out this morning, how was it, Ted?
It was very smoky. When I
taste it.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, I live up high in the city, and I looked out across like towards Cypress and Hilltop.
Yeah.
And it was foggy. I mean, it was like foggy. It looked like fog had set in. And you can taste it.
You can taste it. Yeah. How about you, Eric? Where are you living at? Where do you live at? In the general area.
I live in the north side of Reading. And so, yeah, when I came out, I saw the smoke. I definitely saw it a lot more yesterday, but
it was... Yeah, it doesn't seem... Yeah, today it didn't seem quite as thick because I was coming out from a different direction here today. Hey, the debate last night, I watched part of the debate, and Trump, he sits right in the center because he had the most... You know, he's got the highest ratings. And it was... And right at the beginning... They asked him about a third-party run, and he said if he wasn't treated fairly by the Republican Party, he is not ruling out a third-party run. But after listening to him last night, I mean, he hit some of those things about AA politicians are stupid, except the people up here, of course, on the stage, about immigration. And they asked him questions about his bankruptcies. He's had 4 bankruptcies, or his companies have. He said, I haven't personally. He says, my companies have. He says, I have taken advantage of laws of this country. And the law says when you get to a certain point, you can go into a Chapter 11 or whatever these things are. And what the question was saying was, well, if you use these laws, and then and you pled bankruptcy, a lot of people that, and this was kind of a good part, a lot of people that invest with you, these banks and everything, they lost money. He says, Megan, these are not lollipops. These are some tough guys that you're never going to – I mean, these are tough men and women. They know what the risks are when they go into business. And he said, I pulled out of New Jersey, and Chris Christie knows this, out of Atlantic City, because the whole place was crashing. And, of course, it has. Anyway, Huckabee. I thought Huckabee gave some answers. And Marco Rubio is getting himself in that position where he could be a vice presidential candidate. I don't think he'll get the presidential candidate. For vice president.
I thought they all did pretty well. Jeb Bush, of course, was kind of timid to me.
Oh, yeah.
And
I
looked
mean,
like he was almost out of his league. Well, he's been out of politics for 13 years, right? So,
well, I don't know, but you know,
maybe
he
his
still be ready
skills
to,
just aren't there.
And he was stumbling over words and thoughts, and you know, as opposed to like Scott Walker, Carly Fiorino, who was in there earlier, Ted, or the guy from Texas, Rick Perry, he was kind of like backed off. But who's that governor from Ohio?
Kasich? Pataki? No, Kasich. Yeah.
Kasich. You know what? He had some good lines there. And Dr.
Ben Carson.
Ben Carson. Thank you.
I like him.
Yeah, and they said, would you rule out waterboarding? Would you bring that back? And he says, you know what? He says I'm not going to talk about anything in the public.
Right.
What I may do or what I may not do, he says. But, he says, we had some really brilliant people in the military, and we do. He says, but what you've got to do is when you go into a war, you let them fight the war, you don't tie their hands, and you look for, you know, a war that when we get into it, we're going to win it. Otherwise, let's not even get into it. You know,
completely agree.
Hello.
I did like what he said about he's not going to tell, he won't tell the public or anybody else what we've got going on.
Yeah.
That is part of security, which it is.
It is. Christie, very combative. I don't like, you know what? I don't like him. And I'll tell you why. He gets into fights and he says things to people he doesn't have to say. He calls people liars. He calls people, you know, all these things. You don't need to get into a fight like that. You know, he's not a Trump. You know, Trump is going to burn out, I'm pretty sure, by Christmas. time. Something like that. Something will happen like that.
That's what they're saying. But well, he's been surprising
well,
him so far.
Been. He has been surprising, and I could be wrong on this, but after listening to him last night, he needs to come in there with some, you know, come in with some more specifics. You know, when they say, hey, you said that there was rapists and murderers coming across the border, and he says they didn't quote me correctly. He says, I talked to people down there in the, you know, the border regions, you know, the Border Patrol and all these other people. He says, there are those coming across, and we're not stopping them. And frankly, you know, he's right. We're just letting, you know, we're letting all these people come through. And as, you know, Rubio said, that he said, yeah, but most of these are not Mexican now. Most of them are Nicaragua and other places farther south in Central America. It makes no difference. They're still coming across the border like, you know, we've got a sieve there. And we could close the border. We don't need a wall to do it. We've got the technology to close that border.
Oh, it really is.
Oh, yeah.
Not, I mean, we could close that border easily.
Yes.
It's just a matter of, do we have the will?
Do we have the will?
And maybe much more so, the political will.
Well, that's,
to do it.
It's political will. And then, you know, and it's not just enough to shut the border down, guys. What you also have to do is have something like e-verify.
Well, of
you
course,
know,
e-verify should be the law of the land.
I do not begrudge people wanting to come to this country. This is the shining city on the hill. But my buddy, I just told him, he called me, wished me happy birthday. He's a Brit. Who is now an American citizen. It took him 4 years to get that green card. And he was over here, or I'm sorry, there was another thing he's doing, but he came over for 3 years. He's worked in high power jobs. He had top secret clearances with, you know, with the British Navy and the American services, military. 3 years after he was here, he had to go back to England, get another visa for his whole family, and he'd come back again. So here it is years later, and he's an American citizen. He's seen the light, and, you know, he speaks with this British accent. And the thing about it is, I think it's great. Our country's made strong in immigration, but we need to have the laws. The laws need to be followed, or we need to change the laws, whatever it is. But let's get something under control here. We can't just keep going and just allow the borders to be wide open. And because, oh, well, who's going to do the jobs in the field? Well, There's got to be programs that we can do to fix that. But those are just part of the jobs. The other jobs from construction and IT and all these other things from people rolling through.
Yeah, the jobs in the field will get done. That is not going to just sit there wither on the vine. It'll get done.
But we should have ways of doing it. And I think, you know, one thing you said is our politicians are being stupid about this. Why can't they get something together with a type of program that we can let people in, and that we can get have a road to being an American citizen and taxpaying and living in the greatest country in the world. I don't understand it. Why we can't come up with that?
Well, it's usually based on money, which equals votes, which equals lobbying, which equals special interest.
Now that's what. Okay, I hate to say this, but Trump said it again when they asked him. Well, you've given money to Nancy Pelosi and Clinton and others. He says, oh, yeah, I'm a businessman. He says, before I was in politics, he says, I'm a businessman. I'm still a businessman. I gave lots of money to lots of politicians. And he said, why? So that when I made a phone call a year, two, 3 years later, they're answering the phone.
That's exactly right.
And he says, that system's broken. And he's used it. I mean, he says, and why did I? He says, Hillary Clinton came to my wedding. He said, she did that because I gave her a lot of money for her donations, for her foundation. He says, but I didn't know that she was using her own private jet and flying all over the world and blah, 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 blah. Anyway.
It's the...
he won't be around.
You know...
He won't be around.
Here's the thing about Trump. At least Trump is forcing the rest of the candidates into an uncomfortable conversation. That's what he's really doing, is he's talking about things they don't want to talk about. And telling the American people... or letting the American people hear what's nice to hear, which is a transparent individual with these grand ideas. And I don't know whether he's going to hang in there or he's not.
I don't know.
But the bottom line is, at least he's forcing them into the conversation. And that's a conversation they're going to have.
And he said, if it wasn't for me, they wouldn't be talking immigration. I don't know. I think they would be. I think that's part of it. The other one is the Iranian deal, that we're 2-1 people in the United States in all the polls now. 2-1 are against this deal. At a, you know, against it, you know, and Obama's vilifying those who are against it. Oh, they're terrible people. They're terrible. Excuse me, but we're at war with this country. They have killed thousands of Americans. They've killed hundreds of thousands of people throughout the world. They provide money to terrorists. They are on the state, you know, one of the worst terrorist support states, a terrorist support state. They were in there forever, and they may still be on there. And when they asked John Kerry, well, do you trust the Iranians to do what they say? He said, no. Well, then, if you don't trust them to do it, how can we make a deal with them?
Well, here...
I mean, it's not like we're making a deal with Canada.
Carl, deal means I get something and you get something. What we went into over there was they get something, we get nothing. I mean, what did we get out of the deal?
We couldn't even get four hostages back that they've got.
At the
four,
very
after
least.
All of this. We couldn't even get four people back.
That's right.
And are they going to stop building their ICBMs? No.
Well, that's
are they on the road to a nuclear bomb?
Yes.
I mean, what did we get out of this? Oh, well, it keeps us from having to go to war. Hey, President Obama, we are at war. We've been at war with these guys a long time. It's not going to stop. Do you think they'll take a chance? You think that they'll pass a chance to come over and blow up a building here?
Yeah. Well, the problem with it is he has a fundamental misunderstanding. He does the Iranians. When they lie to you, it's a trophy for them, and then you take it as the truth. They think, hey man, that's awesome. We just totally got over on them
because they have no respect.
They have zero respect.
Zero
We're
respect.
Like lying to an animal.
Right. Okay, we got to take a break.
The Western dogs.
We are Western dogs
to them. Yes, we are.
Well, you better watch out. These pit bulls may come over and bite you in the butt.
Here comes King Midas.
Here she comes. Okay. Hey, we're going to be right back after these messages. This portion of the show, though, has been brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, another veteran-owned business. What can I say about that? Except they are great at Espresso Joe's, anything you could want there, and coffee, beer, brews, anything. Veterans get discounts at Espresso Joe's and walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in the Northern California area and a tobacco emporium second to none. All is at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
The sound of celebrations awaits you at Mosley Family Cellar Tasting Room. Local entrepreneurs Marty and Mimi Mosley choose only the best high-end grapes from California, brought to their winery for everything from the crush to the bottle, right here in Reading. Beautifully crafted wines which pair exceptionally with good friends and great food. Stop by the tasting room, 4712 Mountain Lakes Boulevard in the old KMS building, Thursdays through Sundays, 12 to 5-ish, where you come as guests and leave as family.
There's an open casting call for actors, singers, and dancers ages 7 and up for Reading's holiday tradition, A Cascade Christmas. This holiday spectacular features an all-new story, music, dance, and illusion to bring the spirit of Christmas into everyone's hearts. Auditions are at the Cascade August 21st through the 23rd. Singing auditions are on a first-come, first-served basis. Dance auditions by appointment only. Information and appointments online at cascadebackstage.org/auditions or 243-8877.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Ted Leidy this morning on Fridays. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Shasta Regional Medical Center, ranked a top 100 hospital in the nation for 3 years in a row and a top cardiac hospital and a top 50 for cardiac help, for cardiac care. All this at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Been in the business 70 years, but you know why? Because Shasta Regional is all about treating people well. That's right. All about treating people well. And let me tell you something. If you got a choice of emergency rooms, you may want to take a look at Shasta Regional.
I don't think about emergency rooms either.
I've been in them several times. Yeah. I know. When they pull you out of things and they take you to places where, you know, you see people's faces, that's all you're seeing because you're looking straight up, you know, and they go, "Hey, hi."
Yeah, I'm breaking into sweat thinking about my cortisone shot.
Shasta Regional Medical Center. You know, you and your cortisone shot, I don't want to hear another word about this, frankly.
It hurts just thinking about it.
You know what? Give us a synopsis of your cortisone shot. He's injured his foot dancing. Okay, he could say it was from jumping out of airplanes for 40 years, but right. It probably has something to do with it.
I'm sure it has a lot to do with it. So I went to the VA, and they take great care of you there. And without any prior knowledge, my doctor says,
without warning you,
we're going to go take a we'll think about giving you a cortisone shot. So we're going to take you over to see the podiatrist. And I asked the podiatrist, "Is this going to hurt?" He said, "Not at all." And I thought, "Hey, this is perfect. I can't believe it's not going to hurt because my heel is killing me already." Boy, was I shocked and amazed.
I tell you what, there's a lot of shock and awe going on there. So yeah. You didn't scream, though, out loud.
I didn't scream out loud.
Silent scream.
I did it silently, like I said, because I didn't want the poor people in the waiting room to hear me and then leave, you know. All those old veterans.
It hurts a little bit. Yeah. And you know what it is? When they jam it into you.
Yeah, and then it comes out, and they go back in. They
find another spot, and they move it around and give it to you again. And you're just, you know, you're just sitting there. And you know what they should give you as a mouthpiece, you know, so you can just grit down on it instead of, you know, they hand you a piece of leather or something you bite down on.
I actually thought about that as I was gritting my teeth.
Grab your shoe, which is off your foot, and be biting on it while they give you the cortisone.
Bite the bullet, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
You know. It was incredible. But it's about a 70% fix. I'm telling you right now, the pain just went away, which was nice.
Oh, it does. That's what it does. And it works fine for like about 90 days. But every time I've been told every time you use cortisone, it works less.
Yeah, it's
I could be wrong
true.
About that. Hey, I've got a lot of stuff here in the chat room that's great. They're talking about you can build a fence. But what about the tunnels? And I think that was either Cruz or Rubio. But anyway, they said, yeah, you can build a fence, but then what happens about the tunnels under it? Because they were talking about crime and these kind of things. And then they had an article about Hillary, another comment here. The writer said that she is not only biologically old, and I don't think she's that old, really, biologically. I think she's in her 60s, late 60s. And but it's her spirit. You know, her spirit is old. That she's just, you know, it's, you know, you saw it happen when she ran against Obama. She seemed like she got tired, and then he just, you know, and then all of a sudden he just, you know, he just roared through there and buried her. But right now she is the only one, really. She's the only viable politician running for the Democrats for this next election. And I tell you, Carly Fiorina took it to her. She said, and she called her a liar. She said she lied about Benghazi. She lied about her the messages, her emails on the server. She lied about, and she goes on like four things there. She said she can't be. She said, and you know, the American people, you know, when they look at, do you trust Hillary Clinton? 57% of the American public say they don't trust her.
Well, Sharon,
and yet she's still got a, you know, so many people are going to vote for her, but they don't trust her. How would you vote for somebody you don't trust?
Well, here's the thing. Sharon in the chat room said her spirit is deceptive. It is deceptive. It is deceptive. When you look at her face, it goes as far as the makeup. You can't look into her and get anything except for makeup and hair. Other than that, you don't know one thing about her. You don't know what she's thinking, how she thinks about politics, what she thinks about immigration. You cannot figure her out. She is like a puppet. She doesn't have a soul. Well, you can't look at her and try and get to know her at all. And that's important. That's why people are so, you know, happy with Trump or voting for Trump in the polls because at least they know where he's at.
Oh, there's no – well, you know what? I'm not sure they even know where Trump is on that. Trump comes out and he says things. But I don't know how Trump feels about certain things because the way he says it in such a way – well, Trump, you gave money to this person. You did this and this and this. He goes, yeah, I did.
At least,
you know what? That's the way he ties it to it. So yeah, I get maybe he does answer it by saying, yeah, I did that. But you know why? That's how. So when he said that, you realize then how broke the system is. Yeah, that's so. When I pick up the phone, they answer, and then they're going to help me with something. And I'm like, okay, so what you're doing is bribery, and that's essentially what he's talking about. Is the lobbyist and all this? We have money has become such a big thing in politics that. Without that money, they can't run because they've made this thing so damn expensive that you could be like the water walker when it comes to politics and have every great idea and know how to fix this country. You could do that, Ted.
But I don't
have
$1 million.
Never have a chance. You couldn't even run for city council the way this last one went.
Right.
I mean, you could. I mean,
right.
You know what I mean.
But
you know what
saying.
I'm talking about. $89,000 for a city council seat that doesn't pay anything? Tell me there's not something wrong with that.
Well, there is something wrong with it, and they should be able to fix that system because you have a lot of leaders in this country.
Absolutely.
That could never think about running for an elected position because, number one, they can't afford it. So here's what you've got. You've got this elected elite that once they get into office – they continue
to stay in office.
Well, bilking the taxpayers for hundreds of thousands of dollars and doing the speaking tour, putting that money away and getting ready for the next campaign for the next election. I mean, you know,
I will tell you this:
it's just a small group of people.
It is, but here's the other thing: Rand Paul. Sharon brings this up. I know she is a Paul supporter, of course. But he went after Christie. And here's the thing about Christie was just kind of mean. But he went after Christie. He said, you do not understand the Constitution or the, you know, under the amendments where you cannot just collect all this information, do all these wiretaps without a court order. And Christie is saying it's okay because you got to find terrorists. He says, no. He says, you listen to terrorists. You don't listen to everyday Americans just to listen to their phone calls and their emails. And you know what? Frankly, he's right. If you want to do that, that's what that court was. I want to say FICA, but it's not it. It's the court that they could run through there and they could ask for, and it's a secret court where they could get these warrants for wiretaps. But with this collection of everything, like a huge vacuum cleaner out there. I mean, I don't have anything to cover. You don't have anything to cover.
No.
Eric doesn't have anything to cover. I'm not sure about the Bob out there. He may have things to cover. But why should they be able to collect all this stuff on us?
Well, they shouldn't be able to. It's a complete invasion of privacy.
Yeah, without a warrant.
It's a complete and think about the waste and how ineffective that is, that they're collecting data on folks like you and I when really they should have a better process in place to collect data on the few that they need to be collecting data on. And it's not that difficult, excuse me.
Yeah, and we both know with the way the systems are set up, once they get a link, then they can go and then you can keep filing those links out and then you can just keep getting those court orders. But just to collect on Eric and his wife, I don't, you know, why? I mean,
well,
why
would
they do
that? It
costs
lots and lots of money.
It does, and then you got to keep it. Now, the other thing. You know, what I would have said if I was standing up there right then, because they talked about how big government has gotten. And one of the questions, what would you do away with the EPA, the Office of Education, and there was something else, you know, IRS? Would you curtail them or do away with them? That was a question that came out from the audience there. And the answer to that is, and it was a pretty good answer by Huckabee. He goes, I'd push everything back down to the States as much as possible. You've got to keep the education standards high. And see, Jeb Bush is for Common Core. And I agree with that. You've got to keep the education standards high. How much money do we have to spend on the EPA and the Office of Education and how about the Department of Energy and all these? When a lot of that stuff could be pushed back down the states because the states end up having to pay for them anyway. But then what I wanted to hear somebody say, and not one of them did it, was this. When I'm elected president, I will shrink the government by 10% by the time I'm out in 4 years. And this is the way I'll do it. I will not fire anybody. But what I will do is, as people retire, I'm not going to replace them. And the other thing is I'm going to run it like a business where you have to consolidate. People have to work certain jobs. They have to learn their jobs. And you just consolidate the government down. And so you do that. And you can shrink. You know you can shrink this government by 10%.
Oh,
without
easily.
A problem. Without easily. A problem.
Just don't rehire. It's time.
Which is
the baby boomers are leaving. So this is now it's a timely
moment. Now is the time
moment.
To do it. And here's the other thing too is when you're talking about shrinking the government, and we've got to shrink this right now to a break. So we got to take a break right now.
Break time.
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Our friends there at Four Winds Jewelry at 2225 Hilltop Drive, across from C.R. Gibbs. I tell you, the best estate jewelry you're going to find, a selection of jewelry that is just simply outstanding. Linda loves it. Trish Clark loves it. Everybody we know that goes in there has a good time. They find what they're looking for. Great quality. Leonard is a super guy to talk to also. And you go down to Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 4. Head on down there today. Say hello to Leonard. Say you heard it today on Free Fire Radio. We'll be right back.
A tribute band comprised of the best musicians and performers specializing in a complete Beatles concert production. Join us Wednesday, August 26th at 7:30 p.m. at Wind River Resort and Casino. Welcome Paperback Writer, the Beatles Experience, live in the Event Center. Hear hits from the Ed Sullivan Show through the colorful Sgt. Pepper years. And on the rooftops of Let It Be, performed with spot-on vocals, looks, and sound. Paperback Writer is guaranteed to bring audiences the most precise experience of the Beatles. Remarkably authentic. Amazing vocal. A must-see show. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or windriver.com. Tickets for this are just $12.50 each or a table of 10 for $100. Do not miss your chance to see Paperback Writer, the Beatles Experience in concert at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Wednesday, August 26th. A good time to be had by all. For details, call 1-800-280-UWIN or log on to windriver.com. Must be 21 to attend. Concerts are better at the River.
It's the 11th annual Dog Pound Poker Run benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino, starting with an awesome buffet and featuring raffles, bands, dancing, fight games, vendors, and poker hand and joker hand prizes at each stop. Poker hand with a low hand at $250 and a high hand at $500. For pre-registration form and details, visit RuddingDogPound.com or call 710-6289. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Dr. Jack Finch, Shasta Regional Hospital, Outlander Creative, Lakeshore Inn and RV, America's Tires, Jasta Athletic Club, AC Guide Service, R&R Meats, Everyday Fitness, CR Gibbs, Crown Motors, Land Custom Seats, Outlaw Motorcycle, Sojourn Sellers, Westside Pet Hospital and Boarding, Record Searchlight, California Brewery, Ridge Bay Resort, and Mosley Family Sellers. The 11th annual Dog Pound Poker Run benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino. So why are you sitting there? Come on and ride.
This summer, we believe we can all beat the heat without having to sweat our electricity bill. Your Reading Electric Utility would like to remind you that there are many ways to save energy while the AC is on. Please visit reupower.com to learn how you can change a few small things around the house to save money while keeping you and your family cool. Learn how turning off lights, planting trees, and adding weather stripping and insulation can cut your electricity bill by 30% or more. Remember, reupower.com, brought to you by REU, where Reading is powerful together.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Crackmaster Windshield Repair. You know, the guys down there, another veteran-owned business here, Jeff Wurst, can fix either a chip in your windshield or the cracks over 24 inches in length. Give him a call at 241-8373, a man of integrity. And if he can't fix it, he'll just tell you, I can't fix this, and he'll send you someplace else. There may be a windshield repair, but a whole windshield, but Jeff can fix almost any type of windshield. Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair, 3208 Market Street. Again, give him a call, 241-8373. Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Hey, I'm here with Ted Leidy, and Doug Lamoff is going to be on at 8 o'clock.
Excellent.
What's that? What was the other things they used to say in the movie back then with the two guys, Wayne's World? What was that when he'd say?
Party on, Garth.
Yeah, well, party on besides that, or I'm going to hurl. No, it was like, you know, they'd say something, you know, it'd be something like, you know, they wouldn't say the word cool. What was it, Eric? You're younger than we are. Don't you remember these things?
I honestly don't remember. I remember, first thing that comes to mind is when they said, schwing.
That was it. Schwing.
Oh, that's what you were thinking.
Maybe that was it. Hey, we're going to have Congressman Doug Lamoff on. Schwing.
That was classic.
That was good. I like that.
The only movie that might be better than that is Joe Dirt. Joe Dirt is classic also.
I don't think I've ever seen Joe Dirt.
Neither one of you have seen Joe Dirt?
Well, you know,
I need to rent it.
I've seen, well, you know what? Come to think of it, I've seen like 12 Joe Dirts walking by here at one time in front of the studio.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Hey.
Which is another topic.
It is. Okay, Sharon, you're right. Ron and Rand Paul have been in, you know, Ron Paul is the only one, when he came into town several years ago, he got 6,000 people in one spot in Northern California, all over at Chico, Chico State.
Well, why do you people think, they, coming do you from think here? They're ignoring
because,
him?
Because Rand Paul's scary. And to a lot of people, because he speaks the truth and he speaks what he thinks. And here's the other thing. He is a very much a libertarian, where he doesn't, stay out of people's business and stay out of wars. However, we're in wars right now. So you can't stay out of wars if you're in one. You've got to finish the war. And you can't do it like Obama did and just pull out and say, oh, we won, because look where we are now. ISIS. Thank you, President Obama. And Hillary.
Well, I don't think there was a person on the planet with any leadership ability at all that, when we pulled out of Iraq, didn't say, well, that won't last. Whatever they've got there won't last long.
No, anybody with a common sense that had actually knew something about the Middle East and Iraq knew what was going to happen. It's
right.
Happened every time before. It happened in Afghanistan. It'll happen again. You leave a vacuum there, somebody's going to fill it. And guess what? Those guys filling it are not nice people.
No. But you know what? They operate in a way that their society understands. We do not. They operate in a way that their society understands. Here we come. Everybody will die that opposes us.
Not only that, but their idea of democracy is a little bit different than ours.
Oh, yeah.
There's no such thing as political correctness there. If you're gay, you do not have a good time if you're in a Muslim country. I mean, and ISIS is a good example of this. When they get into the Islamic fundamentalist terrorist that they have, they take a person who's gay, take him up to the top of a building, and they throw him off the building. And people down on the ground are cheering for this. I mean, come on. Here's the other thing, too, is you watch all these Christians lined up in front of the ISIS terrorist, and they shoot the Christians in the back of the head. Excuse me. I don't see a lot about this. Doesn't anybody in the State Department understand what's going on over there? Is it the fact that we just have to have some kind of I have no idea. Is this something that Obama thinks that this is something that he needs to put on his library wall? Oh, signed a peace deal with Iran. Does he really believe this? Is he so naive after 8 years in the White House or 6 years in the White House that this really works? I mean, come on. Even this. Why does he keep going from one spot to another and trusting people and yet not trust the American people?
Well,
he trusts,
you know,
foreigners, but he doesn't trust us.
He leads by event, by situations. You know, you've got Fast and Furious. You've got the IRS scandal. You've got the Iran deal. You've got, as soon as he gets through with one jacked up event, he just moves to the next. And when we start talking about that and forgetting all about what went on yesterday.
It just keeps going on and on.
Yeah, that's how we lead.
There's another one.
You know?
Planned Parenthood gets thrown in there. Excuse me.
It's one
Planned
thing
Parenthood.
The
they're selling whole babies now. And yet we've still got this Iran thing going. So, I mean, and then the other thing, too, is when are they going to start pushing bills forward to President Obama so he has to veto them? Oh, we can't get to 60 votes. You don't need the 60 votes, Mitch McConnell. What you can do is invoke that nuclear option on each and every one of those. On this one, we only need an up or down vote. Democrats did it. We could do, you know, the Republicans could do that too. And I say not we. I'm not a Republican or nor a Democrat. I like to think of myself and everybody I know as Americans that want the best thing for our country. But I don't see that happening. You know, it's like we control. You know what? A lot of these problems we're having right now are because of Republicans. They've been in control of the Congress.
Sure.
And they're in control of the Senate. And we might as well they might as well just have been, you know, they all are having high fives with President Obama and his agenda.
Just
what
happy
are they
to have a job,
of?
Carl. They're just happy to have a job.
Well, you know, Congressman Lamoff is coming on today.
Good.
We're all wound up now.
I'm pumped up, man.
Yeah.
I'm stoked for it.
I want to find out about, you know, what's going on with this Iran deal. The thing about this trade. Oh, you know what? Here's the other thing. Why can't anybody address what's going on in our economy and the trade side of it, where we've got businesses that are out of, you know, offshore and in other countries because of the tax, you know, we charge them so much in taxes. Why don't we make some kind of thing like this? Hey, you come back in here, bring those jobs. I'm going to cut your tax rate to this.
Right.
I'm going to give you stuff to get this thing going. And if you continue to stay in another country, guess what? You're going to have a problem importing your stuff without putting a tax on it right there. So I want you to come back. If I have to force you to come back, come on down. Because then you can, you know what? And then I will go after your profits. But I want you to move. I want you to move manufacturing back to our country, and you can do that.
Absolutely.
If there weren't so many bot people.
Absolutely.
Anyway, just a thought.
Well, you know, there are so many different personal agendas pointing at that, even that one issue. You know, there are so many different personal agendas. But I got a question for you.
Okay.
Why can't we get a hold of the gun violent criminals in our country? What is keeping us from doing that? Why can't we figure out how to stop them from shooting each other?
Well, we don't really mind if gun violent criminals shoot each other.
Well, I do, because it makes us all look bad as gun owners.
Well,
so what do we do? I have an idea.
I think
anybody who commits a felony level crime with a firearm gets 20 years added to their sentence. No plea deal, no nothing.
I think
nothing.
They do that already.
No, they don't.
I think there's some kind of enhanced, when you use a firearm in a commission of a robbery or whatever it is, they already add something on there.
Yeah, but I want them to add 20, and I don't want it to be able to, I don't want them to be able to plea it down. I want them to go get their entire sentencing and then have the judge say plus 20.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that would cause them to think twice before they decide they were going to, especially a felon with a firearm.
Well, you would think so, but I tell you what, and you could take any felon who uses, or they use a firearm in the commission of a felony, then they should go to jail for extra time. At least you keep them off the streets.
20 years. And let's kick out all the pot smokers in prison, because I don't care about them.
I don't care if they smoke.
I don't care about pot smoking. Kick them out.
Of course,
violent criminals.
If they've got an 18-wheeler filled with pot, I mean, you got to do something about that. I mean,
well, I totally get it, but they're not, you know, violent criminals.
Okay. Hey.
Or if they're a felon in possession of a firearm, they should do 20.
I like that, too.
Heck yeah.
One last thought here before we go for a break. Megan Rapinoe.
Oh, she's
getting
married.
Good
for her.
Megan, our little Megan from right here in River City, is getting married. She tweeted that out last night. We don't know who it is, though. But, Megan, good luck. I hope you're happy.
Be nice if it was a local person and they came back
here
to get married.
Back here. You know, I don't think it'll be a local person. But it'd be nice if she came back here for the wedding, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would.
That'd be a big deal.
It would be a big deal around here. I mean, you know what? She's been, you know, she's pointed out that she's gay and all this. I don't think anybody cares.
I
mean, well, there are some people that probably care. But the bottom line is that she's represented our country with honor, and it's been, you know what? If she came back here, I could see it. Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take a break for the news. Carl Bott, Ted Leidy, it's Friday. It's August the 7th. It's 75 degrees out there, going up to 95. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. KCNR, 1460.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. The government reports today that employers added 215,000 jobs in July, signaling a steadily rising job market. Economist Mark Zandi says the report was right in line with analyst expectations.
That's pretty good. Anything more than 200,000 jobs per month is a pretty good number. It suggests that the labor market is strong and absorbing a lot of those unemployed workers that have been around for a long time.
Zandi is with Moody's Analytics. Also at SRNnews.com, the verbal attacks were personal, political, and plentiful in the two-hour Republican presidential debate hosted by the Fox News Channel. This was the first official debate of the 2016 election season. Candidate Donald Trump tells NBC's Today Show that he enjoyed it, and he's enjoying the political ride.
I'm way out in front, and I'm enjoying it. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm getting great respect from the leaders of the Republican Party.
Trump was part of the main event, but not the pre-debate. Still, he was the subject of several questions, courtesy of Fox News Channel.
Former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina wasting no time taking a swipe at front-runner Donald Trump.
Did any of you get a phone call from Bill Clinton? I didn't. Maybe it's because I hadn't given money to the foundation or donated to his wife's Senate campaign.
That, a reference to the phone call Trump made to the former president just weeks before he entered the race.
SRN's Wally Hines reporting. The top 10 candidates in the national polls took part in the main event. The bottom 7 took part in the pre-debate. Secretary of State John Kerry says he respects Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer and Democratic Representative Elliot Engel, but he profoundly disagrees with their decision to vote against the Iran nuclear deal.
While I completely respect everybody's individual right to make a choice, I obviously differ and disagree with the choice made, and I don't think the facts bear out.
This is SRN News.
Doolittle Tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women, and now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-280-9595. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective. It's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-280-9595. 800-280-9595. That's 800-280-9595.
Forecasters are even more confident that this Atlantic hurricane season will be a mild one. Forecaster Jerry Bell with the NOAA Climate Prediction Center says El Nino is the reason.
El Nino creates more conducive conditions for storm and hurricane formation in the Pacific, and it suppresses the hurricanes in the Atlantic. So it's kind of a seesaw effect.
NOAA expects 6 to 10 named storms with 1 to 4 strengthening into hurricanes, with top sustained winds of at least 74 miles per hour. 43 homes have been destroyed and about 12,000 people remain under evacuation orders as a fierce Northern California wildfire continues. It's blazing its way now through nearly 109 square miles of dry brush. Approximately 800 people were allowed to return to their homes last night. This is SRN News. There's concern over the fate of hundreds of Syrians abducted by ISIS.
IS took the town of Kadiatayn 2 days ago. It's their first major gain in Syria since seizing Palmyra. It's a logical next step for them, taking them deeper through the Syrian desert towards Homs and Damascus. Hundreds of civilians in the town are reported to have been seized. There are reports that IS fighters have a list of residents they accuse of collaborating with the government. Kadiatayn has a mixed Sunni, Muslim and Christian population. The Christians boosted by internal refugees fleeing from fighting further north. There's particular concern over their fate as IS has killed or enslaved many captives from religious minorities.
BBC correspondent Sebastian Usher. French authorities say a week-long operation has begun on the Indian Ocean island of Reunion to search for debris from the missing Malaysia Airlines flight. Part of a wing believed to belong to it was found there last week. From Washington, I'm Linda Kenyon.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Baugh. Linda's on assignment today, but I'm here with Ted Leidy, my friend. And we're waiting to get a phone call from Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And so we can discuss some of the things that are going on back in Congressland. I'm going to ask him about the, of course, he's on break now. They've all went home. And so now he's someplace in Yuba City or around there someplace. But good morning, everybody. It's 7 minutes after 8 here on the 7th of August. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Eric, what's the weather look like today and for the weekend?
Looks like we're high 95 today. 20% chance of showers tonight with a low of 67. Tomorrow's going to be 94 as well, so it's going to be a nice weekend.
It is going to be, and the weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, veteran-owned business where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793. Hey, you know, you're going out this weekend through the lake, you got to stop by Mighty Fine Foods down there at 299 in Deschutes and Bella Vista. They've got it all there. Ices, root beer floats, they have it all, over 1,000 different cold drinks, including 250 different beers. Ted, I am not kidding you. I talked to him, went out there and looked at him. He's got over 250 different kinds of beers. He's got all these, you know, all these different smaller brands and everything.
Those.
You need to go out there to Mighty Fine Foods. Over 350 liquor and wine choices, plus the barbecue they do today. They do ribs, chicken, prime rib. They got it all out there, and people buy it for the weekend.
I'm a huge customer of Mighty Fine Foods.
Because you go
the gun range is right there.
Right there. If you go by the gun, just pull in there and get a sandwich. Their deli is outstanding, too.
Always nice people.
You know,
always.
They are. It's family-owned. It's one-stop shopping between you and the lake and the gun range. Go out there and just get lunch, a real good barbecue sandwiches in their deli.
So in the chat room,
okay.
Are you done talking about Mighty Fine Foods?
That's
in
Mighty
the
Fine
chat
Foods.
Room, Craig asked me or us how we can advocate adding a 20-year sentence onto on a person committing a violent felony with a firearm and still advocate the Second Amendment.
Well, that's easy.
Well, that's what I said, because you have a fundamental disconnect there. Once you have proven that you are a danger to society, not only are your Second Amendment rights suspended,
so your first,
but also your right to vote. I mean, it just goes right along the way.
The whole thing is that it's easy because the Second Amendment gives you, as a law-abiding citizen, the right to have firearms. You are a law-abiding citizen. You have the right to own firearms. Once you commit a crime and you use a firearm in the commission of a crime, those rights kind of go away. So that once you're found guilty, it isn't like, oh, here's 20 years to you because, you know, just, you know, right away without a trial. After you're found guilty by a jury of your peers, at that point, I'm going to give you a 10-year sentence, for pointing a gun at this business and taking their money. And now I'm going to add 20 years to it because you used a gun, and you will not use a gun again. So.
And it's been fundamental. You know what? When the Second Amendment was written and ratified in 1791, when you committed a crime with a firearm, guess what? They didn't take away your firearm rights. They hung you. They hung you. So the bottom line is we live in a different society. We have to be able to suspend those rights if you cannot be trusted with a firearm. Just like if you can't be trusted with a car, they suspend your driver's license.
Okay.
Right?
Don't get me started on this one.
Well, it's true.
On suspending your driver's license. That's if you're, okay, I understand that if you're driving drunk, DUIs, you run into things, or you're dangerous.
If you're dangerous, you're dangerous.
But here's one of the problems. We talked about this last night, Amigo. You go through a red light camera. That is $560 out of your pocket. Now, I know you are just inherently rich. And
no.
You can pay for this and pay for, you know, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But $560 for running a red light, and out of that, how much of that comes back to the city is very little. Because we, as a California society, voted to raise these fees until now they're like $560 for going through that light, most of which are fees and things they tack onto it. Here's the problem. You get a veteran. Got out, he's running two jobs right now, he's working his way. His wife gets a $560 $560 traffic light fine. $560 is something that can, you know, that means maybe insurance, maybe a mortgage, maybe kids' food. And so they don't pay it or they can't pay it. So now he gets picked up because he's still got to work. Now he's driving on they suspend his license. So now he's driving on a suspended license. Now they take the car. I mean, this whole thing is that's radically not what freedom and what the right thing is.
Well, I have this to say. I bet he don't run that red light again.
Oh, no, that's not true.
Obviously.
Because I know somebody that ran it twice in 2 days. But got out of one of them. But, you know, no, yeah, that may be. But it still means is if... The fines are too onerous, or there's got to be a way that we'll let you pay over 3 months. Well, how about letting them pay over 5 months? Pay $100 a month for 5 months. But why should you have to pay $563 because you roll through a light, there's no wreck, there's nobody hurt, it's these damn traffic light cameras, and that there's nobody on the road. But if you roll through that, boom, $563.
Well, I want to know where it's going.
Yeah.
Because, to be honest with you, if $563 went to the chief so he could up his force, I would be a fan of $563. I'd pay it. I wouldn't say a word. But when it's just going off into the vacuum somewhere, I can't take it. Because I got one just the other day, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. At least it's a good picture of me.
Suitable for framing.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
We're doing. I'm here with Ted Leidy. You know Ted, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know Ted. Do you know Ted?
Yeah, we met at the SCI dinner and a few other places.
Run each other around town there, yeah. So,
yeah.
I hate those red light cameras, too. They're scams for out-of-town companies to make money. Very little actually stays at the local area. And, you roll a right turn at a red light where there's nothing coming, you know. I heard what you were saying about that. It's just like, come on, guys.
Yeah, Linda.
I mean, it makes it sound inhospitable when you do that. I mean,
well,
it needed the ones that roll them hard right through after, you know, light's been red for 2 seconds and they're still jamming the intersection, and, you know, that's where people get killed at.
No, that's absolutely true. But see, here's another example of government overreach, in my opinion, that they're doing things like this. And who is it hurting? It's not hurting. You know what? It doesn't hurt the chairman of the McConnell Foundation. But what it hurts is that veteran that just got out, or that person on Social Security, or that person who is working their butt off to make ends meet for their family, and they roll through a light, no wrecks, nothing else, $563. You know, a police.
Yeah,
you know,
most of the money. A lot of times, you see when these traffic ticket things, you're sending the payment to somebody in San Jose or somewhere else, and. Someone's making a bunch of money out of that because the city council somewhere thought, hey, we can get some more revenue.
Yeah.
Probably most of it isn't actually even staying local. You know, Chico's got all these parking meters downtown. Boom, if you don't get back from doing business downtown 2 or 3 minutes late, you know, your quarter you didn't put in there now costs you $29. And I just get tired of the heavy hand on this sort of thing. And you're talking about people trying to make a living. Yeah, they had a screw up, but, you know, they come and take their car. Well, now they're going to end up being they or their family wards of the state because they couldn't make a payment to somebody in San Jose. You know, I mean, back off a little bit, people, and get the real criminals here. But anyway, that's not what you want me to talk about.
Well, no, that's one of the things, because it just makes
sense.
Absolutely. But one of the things we have to do, we have to take a quick break, Congressman, and because when we come back, I want to talk to you about the debate. We talked about it some, but did you get a chance to watch it last night?
I had somebody tape it for me. I'm actually with the family over the next couple of days traveling. And
okay.
So I've tried to watch it via Twitter.
Well, let's talk about that, because I want to talk about some of the things they brought up, though. It was kind of interesting. But we're going to take a break here, but I want to remind everybody to come to View 202 this Sunday for brunch. Linda's singing with her jazz ensemble. It's a different sound they have there, and she'll be singing from 11 to 1. The brunch goes from 11 to 2. I tell you what, they have a brand new menu. They've got, you know, it's great service there, new types of drinks, everything. Executive Chef Dustin Heisler has just done a wonderful job. Sit out in the veranda with us, watch the river. It's the only restaurant on the Sacramento River. And you've got a great view, great food, and Linda is just in top form. Give them a call at 226-8439, though, for reservations, because they sell out that veranda. Come on out and join us this Sunday. We'll be right back with Congressman Doug LaMalfa.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Mews with Northern Lights Energy. Well, we have the barbecue bottles have showed up at the plant now, and we have an exchange program if you're in a hurry. Gary, Mad Dog Stallone, and Rhett are waiting to help you. Robin also has propane exchange at Corning, so stop by and let her show you. Joe is filling tanks and motorhomes at Weaverville, so come in and say hello. We have all the bulk oil tanks full at the Redding plant, and everything from tractor hydraulic to synthetic motor oils and lubes. Before the boys run off to the fires, check your tanks and levels and give Danny a call. We deliver about everywhere. A special thank you to all the companies and individuals who donated to the 4-H FFA Community Barbecue. It was very hot, but it turned out to be a great success. Thanks from all of us at Northern Lights Energy. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
This is Jonathan Anderson, Director of the Good News Rescue Mission. In response to the concerns of our community caused by the recent recession, changes in our state law, prolonged drug problems, and an increase in mental health issues, the mission has examined its policies and practices in order to take a proactive approach. We have developed great incentive programs to help keep people off the streets and to help them break the cycle of poverty. However, we have also implemented strict policies to deter those who are criminally active and bent on destruction in our community. Any guests who are caught loitering, stealing, or panhandling will have an alert placed on their electronic account and will be denied services until they speak with a case management team to address their negative behaviors. Last year, with these efforts, we helped 250 people break their cycle of poverty and are no longer on the streets of Shasta County. To help break the cycle of poverty in our community, please visit us at gnrm.org.
Do you love brain teasers, interactive puzzles, and mind-bending challenges? Then you won't want to miss Turtle Bay's summer exhibition, Mindbender Mansion. Starting May 23rd, test your brain power by solving puzzles to reveal hidden clues and passwords in order to become a member of the Mindbender Society. Mindbender Mansion was created by the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry and is presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center and U.S. Bank. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Having trouble finding cute clothes and accessories in town? Look no further than Dandelion Boutique in our very own downtown Reading. Specializing in the hottest brands from Spanx to Alex and Ani, and of course, a huge selection of Brighton jewelry, perfect to make any gift or occasion memorable. So come say hi to the girls of Dandelion at their new spot, 1322 Pine Street, or call 247-1292. Dandelion, unique gifts and more.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Ted Leidy today, my co-host for today. 75 degrees right now, going up to 95. A lot of smoke out there. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Of course, the chat room is just filled with people at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, started 6 years ago. has made a huge success at a customer service and caring about what happens to their customers, what their customers want. Whether you want a long gun or a pistol, they have got it there. Also, all types of ammunition, gunsmithing, and classes, all at Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Redding. Give them a call, 222-8222. Our guest is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And, Congressman, thank you and welcome.
Well, sure. I thought I called in at the right time to miss the whole blitz of ads, though. So I'm not sure which is worse, sitting through the ads on hold or waiting at a stoplight that's on a timer at 1 a.m. instead of one that just turns when you hit the sensors, you know.
Well, Congressman, I tell you what, I can fix that. If you just write me a check every month for a certain amount of money, I'll go commercial free. I mean, it's such
free enterprise capitalist system here, and I love it. Especially you've got ads with people selling Second Amendment items, which when I drive around D.C., I don't hear any of those ads there.
No. Hey, last night in the debate, Trump, of course, is he hit on a number of things. One of them is the amount of money that's flowing from Wall Street into D.C. and how this has such a huge impact on things like on any type of bill.
Via taxes or contributions?
Via contributions, not through taxes, but via contributions. When they said to him, well, you gave money to Pelosi and Clinton and all that, he goes, yeah, I did. I was a businessman because I wanted them to pick up the phone when I called, and they did. Has it gotten to that point that money talks that much in Congress?
Money has been talking since there's been the first transaction of mankind, you know. So that said, I'll take your statement a minute ago. If I never had to have a check for a campaign again, I couldn't be happier. I hate by far, you know, there's a lot of things I like about my job, and there's some things I don't like. The thing I hate the most is this fundraising angle, because whether it's for my own campaign or other things I have to help with, I just hate making those calls, and then, you know, you show up at a community meeting and people are trying to say that you're for sale because you voted for something that may coincidentally be for something that's good for business or good for America, you know. So I mean, it's tiresome. So is there influence? I'm sure there is. But for people's integrity, for someone to think that you know, a contribution of $1,000 or even $10,000 is going to make you change your vote on a bill that you're going to have to live with, that answer to for that, and come back home to your community and say, I voted for this because, you know, well, whatever poor reason you have. I just can't imagine that there's a contribution big enough to make you change your vote to something that's bad for America, for jobs, or for whatever. But I guess that's a measure of what your patriotism is on that. But yeah, no doubt. There is an element that certainly people have contorted themselves and done really bad things, you know, with California legislators in order to get, you know, get some money in. The crazy thing is, you don't even keep the money. It just goes for campaigns to go buy more mail to shove in people's mailbox and bore them with more ads on the radio and on the TV and, you know, whatever. It doesn't make any sense why you would contort your values in order to have a campaign contribution.
Congressman, half the people, I should say 2-1, the people in the United States, our America, is against the Iranian deal.
Mm-hmm.
What can Congress do? What can Congress do?
Make sure that it's 2-1 in Congress, because it's going to take a 2/3 vote in the House and the Senate. That's exactly where it needs to be. If the senators are and the House are reflecting that, then we should be able to hit the 2/3 margin there. So an important piece last night was a lot of people worried about Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, what he's going to do. He's a pretty important figure as one of the leaders in the Democrat caucus in the Senate. And so he came out, I guess, sometime during the debate last night, said he was opposing the deal. So that's pretty pivotal, because I think Republicans are already unanimously against the deal in the House and the Senate, from those that have revealed the position and told what their leanings are. I don't see what, and, you know, people still talking about, oh, that's just a partisan deal, that's just the president, you're against the president, blah, blah, blah. But for me, I can't see what's good in the deal. I got about an inch of paperwork I'm weeding through here during this recess. and also want to be digging for what more information is available in the so-called side deals that aren't we aren't privy to, that really maybe Secretary Kerry's not privy to, which is a crazy way to do business. Like, we're going to go for this overall deal, and they got side deals going, allowing them different aspects of arms trading or whatever. And then there's some secret documents that we in Congress are allowed to review that are, you know, again, downstairs in the bowels of the Capitol there that they only had three copies of. Sorry, it's the last week I was there. There wasn't enough time and appointment space to be able to read them. So it's not a process that makes you want to vote for all the aspects of the deal. But that said, everything I've seen so far does not bode well for us or for people we care about, such as Israel and even some of our semi-allies over there we get along with sometimes, like the Saudis and the United Arab Emirates we're able to do business with sometimes. So it's not a good deal for stability in the Middle East. It probably is a likely ratcheting up of an arms race, a nuclear race. And what is shameful about that is we had the sanctions against Iran were working pretty good. And they were relaxed a little bit in the last couple of years. And now to just completely let them up for a breath of air, when basically you're drowning your economy in a tub, to let them up for a breath of air with the $110 to $150 billion worth of frozen assets in America, that they can, if they just took, you know, a third of that money and decided to go out and do more support for Hamas, and Iran's one of the leading suppliers and supporters of Hamas and other terrorist activity around Syria and that. And
oh yeah, they're a big terrorist supporter, and that's, and Kerry, when they asked him a question, can we trust Iran? He said no. I mean, at that point, the whole thing should have been off. So,
but they're still pushing it, thinking this is the best thing. Otherwise, the only other thing is war. Like, well, sanctions have worked pretty good. If we got really, really serious and just had a blockade of the Strait of Hormuz and nothing goes in and out of Iran, and we had other partners in the world that participated, you know, what they're afraid now is that Russia and China will jump off of the P5+1 and the agreements in general and start doing a lot more business with them other than what they're already sneaking in there. So it's an interesting dichotomy here, because the Secretary Kerry and three other secretaries, we actually had a seminar, Republicans and Democrats, in the big conference room at the Visitor Center on that, and I stayed, listened to the whole thing. But the dichotomy is like, well, the sanctions are going to not work very much longer because Russia and China want to peel off. The Western Europeans are going to have pressure to maybe be peel off, too, because they're getting a lot of their energy from Russia and such, which brings up another topic, why we importantly need to be helping with energy exports in this country by developing our energy. We can do it. So coming back to that, the sanctions might fail if we don't do the deal. Yet on the other hand, we have the so-called snapback, where if Iran doesn't follow all the tenets of the agreement, then we can snap back the sanctions again, you know, in a year or two or whatever, after a review period. Well, there's not going to be the guts to snap it back, because they don't want to admit failure that the thing hasn't worked. And so snapping back the sanctions after you've already given them a $150 billion breath of air, and you know, people that have wanted this agreement are going to be making excuses if Iran drags their feet on allowing this inspection, or they get caught with a few centrifuges. Oops, we forgot we had those running. They can play oops.
That's only if they let you in to take a look at them. They've got 24 days to stop it, hide it, or do anything else.
24 days looks even more like 3 months by the time you get through all the
permitting
processes.
Well,
so, I mean, you know, why not just say, you know, well, we're going to come check you out in 90 days. Be sure to move everything from one place to the other, just the way Iraq did when we had the UN inspectors going in there and looking for the WMDs. The left loves to say didn't exist. Now we're finding the evidence of that scattered all about Syria and other places, that the weapons of mass destruction, you know, that Bush felt was right, did indeed happen. Wow, is that a big surprise in the Middle East?
No, it's not a surprise. Let's go to the phones.
But, you know, again, coming back to the sanctions real quick.
Okay.
They don't work under the current plan, but they'll work if we have what they call a snapback, put them back in place if Iran doesn't follow the pieces of it. It really doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
I can't believe that we're going to fall for it. But let me talk a little bit more about the meeting, though. Secretary Kerry and three other secretaries from the cabinet spoke to us. It was a bipartisan group. There's a lot of participation in the room of the House Democrats and House Republicans. But the way Harry weaved the thing is that I watched some of the Democrat members, and they're nodding their heads this thing. So the bottom line is we need 290 no votes in the House if all 435 show up to get a two-thirds. And you need 67 out of 100 in the Senate to achieve that two-thirds, because this is not deemed a treaty. It's deemed just an agreement. And that's the way the agreement was hammered out amongst the House, the Congress, and the President in order for the Congress to have any say other than an executive action. So we really have to do a full court press on House Dems to get to that additional 43 above the 247 Republicans to get that two-thirds number. And
it's going to be tough.
It's not going to be easy. But Schumer coming out yesterday, that's a big plus for leadership among Democrats that Democrats can point to. Go ahead, please.
Okay, well, we've got to take a quick break here. I've got people lined up on the phone, so as soon as we get back from our break, we'll go to their phones here.
The stoplight, then.
Yeah, stop it. Are you in your 843 horsepower, driving down the road, or you're in the place where you're safe here?
I'm actually parked right now.
Okay.
Real safe, no stoplight.
All right, good. All right. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda, of course, is on assignment. I'm here with Command Sergeant Major Ted Leidy. 75 degrees out there, going up to 95 today. Watch out for the smoke. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane of Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco and Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Leasigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco and Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
The New York Times called it a thoroughly entertaining lesson in the fine art of theatrical finesse, the closest thing the theater offers to a duel at 10 paces. The Riverfront Playhouse presents the Pulitzer Prize-winning play, The Gin Game, by D.L. Coburn, directed by Elsie Ritchie, opening July 11th and continuing every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through August 8th. Tickets available at the Cascade Theater box office, 243-8877. The Gin Game, rated mature for language.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott and retired Army Command Sergeant Major Ted Leidy's here with me today, and Eric and the whole group out here at 8:33 in the morning. It's still 75 because has the temperature gone up at all? Nope, it hasn't. Still 75, going up to 95 today. The weekend's going to be like this. We may have a chance for rain today. Weather report always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, veteran-owned business with discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. Our guest is Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. That's right, man's last stronghold there. Great haircuts, great prices, discounts for seniors and veterans, another veteran-owned business. Cypress Square Barbershop, right across from the subway. Good morning and welcome back again, Congressman.
Thank you. Sorry about the red light shots there. They're actually a pet peeve of mine, you know, sitting there to let turn light, waiting for nothing to come.
Yeah, well, you know, I get that way, too. Okay, let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
How you doing, Carl? How you doing, Congressman?
Pretty good.
Good. Yeah, I just got a quick question. There's some question of you receiving $317,000.
We were just
talking a little while ago about, you know, how we don't want to be in a position when we're an elected official to receive money to change our vote. But you received $317,000, and when your staff was asked about it up in Susanville, the comment was, well, we haven't seen the money. Did you, in fact, receive $317,000 from Monsanto or not?
Do you believe this all came in one big lump sum check? Is that what you're believing?
I'm asking a question, and I can barely hear you, sir. I apologize, but I can barely hear you on this line. I'm just asking if you received that $317,000, not if you'd seen it, but have you received it, and what was that for?
Yeah, this is part of the whole Internet hype based on trade related bills that were Congress has been working on, and so the contributions I received come in a little at a time, and that the figure you're talking about would be a campaign report over about a year and a half period.
Okay, that's not a lump sum then.
Hundreds of contributions at a time. What's that?
I see. That wasn't just a lump sum from someone then.
No, that wouldn't even be close to legal. I can't receive that kind
of.
No candidate can receive more than I think the figure is $2,500 in a single contribution. And so that's part of, again, this Internet hype, people saying, you know, this person, like they say, the speaker received $1.9 million. That's not even factually close or credible. So what people are believing about stuff being hyped on the Internet or whatever because they want to attack politicians is really...
Well, I don't think it's that, sir. I think that there probably is some people who have distrust.
Let him finish, Tara.
At the Reading the Tea Party meeting, and so if they don't want to get the facts, then I don't know why I bother talking to them.
Well, you know, really and truly, I watched some of that. I wasn't here, as you know. My wife and I were gone, and I did watch some of that. And I didn't, you know, a lot of times people talk about tone, and I don't think it was tone as much as it was substance. I mean, I think that people were upset about the TPA, and some of the answers, you know, we do get honestly, sir, is that, you know, did you read the TPA? Well, we weeded through it. Did you get the money? Well, we haven't seen it. I mean, those are answers, you know, a lot of these are yes or no.
Staff isn't supposed to be talking about campaign stuff out in an official capacity, so it's awkward for them to be talking about contributions and campaign-related things, because we're trying to keep a bright light between that, so they say, you know, and whatever was said off the cuff was probably one of those kind of, what am I doing talking about that? So I don't know which staff member it was or what it was, but, you know... We haven't seen the money. It's like, what do I do with that question?
Who's your staff member? I believe his name is Todd, I believe. It's up at Susanville.
Well, the young man was probably flat-footed on what he's supposed to say about that, or that he's been told we don't talk about
okay.
it.
I don't know. Hey, Terry.
Campaign things in a public forum like that. It isn't their job as an official capacity to be in any way talking about votes or campaign contributions or any of that stuff. So,
mm-hmm. okay.
so instead of gotcha questions, why don't we stick to factual things?
Okay, Terry, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, you know, Congressman, that did come up, you know, is that when you went to the Tea Party meeting to meet with Tea Party and answer questions and such, it seemed like an adversarial time there when before it hasn't been like that. Are people getting so upset with politics that it just is everything now?
Yeah, you know, it's the old throw them all out. Get rid of all the incumbents and stuff. And, you know, I've been in the House for 2.5 years, so if that's too long, then maybe I need to be replaced. But I don't, you know, it was is contentious because people are believing things without even asking me or my office. I had somebody there that said when they called our office to tell us about something, and we said, well, can we send you some information? No, we don't want that information. We just want you to hear us. Like, okay, then we're not here to provide information, so we'll just all operate in the dark, and if you don't want to hear from me, just want me to hear from you, then dandy. We'll have an awesome way of interacting here. But, you know, I welcome people's comments and their thoughts and ideas, but I always thought the interactive approach is the best. So if they don't want our communications, then they certainly don't have to have them. But by and large, that was a very small microcosm of a few disgruntled folks that there's a lot of people in the room that night that were also said, you know, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing the best you can with what you have to work with. So, yeah, there's some adversarial stuff, and things have kind of shifted there with the tone and direction where it's kind of become attack anybody who's an elected office by a handful.
Okay.
Which is sad because, you know, I've always tried to be just a really straightforward guy who loves the Constitution, independence, individual liberties, and I'm operating in a place back there that this isn't 1789, it's 2015. There's layers and layers and layers and stuff that we've had to try and break through. We have a hostile White House, we have a hostile media, and we have a Senate that doesn't have 60 votes, so we don't get to do things overnight that I would love to be doing with eliminating Obamacare and defunding IRS and Planned Parenthood and all this stuff that is out there just harming our poor way of life. But, you know, when you show up with a few people that you thought you were allies and are now questioning every move you make, it makes it kind of tough some days. So, hey, I just have to have a thicker skin and keep going forward.
Well, that's true, because, you know what, when you signed on, people are going to be throwing spears at you.
This isn't a business or an area where you make a lot of new friends. So you probably start out with a lot of friends, and it starts tailing off the longer you're around. And, you know, pretty soon you just, I don't know.
Anyway.
I'll quit talking there. Let's move to the next one.
Okay. Let's go talk about the TPA. Let's talk about the, you know, this thing is still going on. And last time you were on, you said that you have to go down to the bowels of government again to read the treaty. And this also, is this treaty something that has to take a two-thirds majority to try and stop it, or what?
All right, there's different things we're talking about here. The TPA, which is the authority
right
for any trade talks to have. It sets the ground rules for it. That's what Congress passed, H.R. 1314.
Right.
And so it outlines the specifics that the president and his trade representatives have to use on how trade negotiations will happen, whether it's the TPP, the TTIP, which applies to Europe and others. So it gives Congress more power, and it gives a more public process to actually do this instead of the president doing it by executive. And the other trade partners kind of demanded this too, because they wanted to have something that was more legitimate in the process of negotiating trade, because if the Congress rejects it, then everybody's back at ground zero, starting over again on that. So TPA was actually a good thing if we can get past the hype and all that stuff, that it empowers Congress and empowers the people to see in print for at least 60 days whatever it is that the trade representative at behest of the president, whoever the president is during whatever year, what they've come up with, and then we have approval of it. Whereas the other way, if it was done executively, internally, without Congress's look at it, then, you know, we'd be operating in the gray on something that really hadn't had the scrutiny yet was agreed to. So TPA is pretty good. TPP is nowhere near finished in negotiations yet. Yes, it's a document. You have to go, downstairs in the basement of the Capitol to review. I have to leave my phone there and behind, and I can't take any notes. I can't take staff with me. So I reviewed it a little bit, and I didn't like it much. I'm not allowed to talk about it. But it's a finished document, once the negotiations are over, then it becomes a public document. Then we can all talk about it. I can get your input on it and say, hey, TPP is good or it's bad. And that helps shape my decision on how I'm going to vote on the thing, as well as my colleagues in the House and the Senate.
Well, let me ask a question, Congressman.
So it becomes a public document at that point because of TPA. Go ahead.
Well, Okay, so, and we talked about the TPA before. So the Congress has an up or down on it. They give the president, whoever it is, says, hey, this is a trade agreement I want to make. And so the Congress can right then say yes or no. Is that okay? So it sends it back to them. So it doesn't go any further.
Yeah, if Congress says no, then hey, guys, go back to the drawing board. It doesn't end it forever. It's like we had some things we didn't like. Maybe we could outline those and say we want this. We want some provisions changed. We give them some advice and see if they can hammer them out with those countries. Great. If we can't, then I guess the trade doesn't happen. But without some of these trade agreements, I think we're going to be really stagnant in having foreign trade. Because you can't get agreements that are reliable that our trading partners would look to.
At what point do you think?
There's no way we'd want to trade, you know, any kind of security or sovereignty for any of this stuff, and that's part of what gets hyped up too. So, you know, and what we have as part of the problem is the president, the White House, has not been too concerned about maintaining sovereignty issues for us, and so we're having to fight through that because. In separation of powers, the House and the Senate, we have certain limitations upon us of what we can make the president do once a law has been passed. Once the legislation is in place, the executive branch puts in place and enforces the laws. We have to get another law through to change an existing law. And so much of the bad stuff that passed between 2008 and 2010 when the Dems had the House, the Senate, and the White House with a 60-vote majority in the Senate, that's when Obamacare passed, that's when Dodd-Frank passed, that's when the giant stimulus package passed, and many other things that you can't even list here today. Go ahead.
Okay, the one of the questions coming in through here is that before, and maybe I'm reading this wrong, but before the president couldn't make treaties by executive order, that the treaties he could do anything, but they still had to be passed through the Senate. And
the treaties are two-thirds by the Senate, yes, but they make agreements. They make deals that have... Okay. Time limits on them. They have, they can call them not a treaty and have these arrangements, agreements, deals that don't have that same level of effort to get through a Senate. So if it's merely an agreement, an accord, then they don't have to ask Congress about it. So that's why TPA was part of an enforcement tool, an agreement amongst the House and the Senate and the White House to say. In order to have international credibility, which is what the president sought in trade and what the other countries are seeking, it gives Congress power to have veto power, too, which means we all can be coming together on the agreement instead of it blowing up under a president-only agreement.
Okay.
But, you know, these all don't reach the level of treaty. Okay.
You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to skip these next commercials just so we can keep going to the end of the hour here because I want to talk about – see, I knew you'd like that.
Green light, yes.
Green light. Okay, you know, let's talk about the veteran. You know, there was a defense bill didn't get passed before y'all left. I've been getting emails about something like that.
You know, also today is the anniversary of the veterans bill to that we did a year ago to get the VA going again. And so we're disappointed as far as, I mean, more than disappointed, pretty angry that the VA has dragged its feet in putting these things in place. So there's still a ways to go on a lot of the legislation that we didn't get done. And there's been hearings through the VA to hold them accountable as to what's going on. Chairman Miller's been doing a good job, but Secretary McDonald came in. I watched part of that hearing. I didn't get to sit in on that one this time, but I watched that. So my colleagues there, all you get is non-answers from them as to where the money went. So the choice program actually has a surplus in it because they haven't been running the program, which gives veterans the opportunity to go to local local clinics if there's too much of a timeline of wait for appointments or too much travel involved. They haven't wanted to implement that. So a year later, you know, the president last year said we need to make VA more accountable. He signed the bill, which is good, but he hasn't really made any heads roll in VA to get the results we need so that veterans aren't having these long waits or no appointment at all for health needs or and like what we've been fighting for almost the whole time I've been in. getting their claims even settled so they know where they stand.
Well, you know, one of the things I've seen is that it was just poor planning all the way through the VA because of this. You know, they didn't, they're short $1 billion because they didn't plan again. I just find it appalling that, you know, they're looking at, the Army did not make its enlistment quota this time. And they can say, and I actually saw a very naive view is, oh, well, you know, the economy's getting better. No, that could be part of it, but it's also the VA. There's all these other rules that have impacted on the military. And they see this, that I'm going to go off to war 3 or 4 times, and yet I'm not going to be taken care of when I get home. We're going
to
be facing
it's
a
not an incentive to join.
It's not. It is not an incentive to join. And the fact that it's still going on here, after everybody says something about it, after they pass bills, you know, Congressman, frankly, it's reprehensible to see what's happening to our veterans. And I know that you're out there.
It's defying the will of Congress. It's defying what we have legislative and put in place and the president even signed. You can have Secretary McDonald there basically flim-flamming us, trying to just get the, you know, run out the clock on a 2 or 3 hour committee hearing and get out the door again. Or his underlings that are various heads of the centers around the country, you know, just trying to run the clock out on that. And so, you know, we pushed to get the Office of Inspector General to do things. They've done some investigations, and so it's up to us to get a consensus on how far to take it with the next round of legislation and to get the cooperation of the president to sign that, because only a handful of people of VA have been fired for the malfeasance with the hiding the appointments and the lost paperwork. The shuffle of paperwork from the appeals board in Washington, D.C. to come back to the Oakland Center, for example. I mean, we have real-world examples that affect people that we know that they just keep dragging their feet. And
well, is it going to take a public flogging?
Sometimes we feel not nearly as powerful as we would like to be to make this happen because, you know, again, under separation of powers, the House and Senate have certain roles in this thing in the executive branch. That's why last night's, you know, debate was so important in getting started the process of who's going to be the next person in the White House 17 months from now. We'll actually start doing things and care about this stuff instead of just saying the words.
Yeah. Okay, hey, we've got another phone call. Ruth. Ruth, good morning. Do you have a question or comments to Congressman LaMalfa?
I do. I just want to say thank you, Doug, for all that you do. And I had interviewed one of your staff members on our radio show on Saturday mornings, Aaron Ryan. And the reason I did that was to let the folks out there know how much effort and time and just commitment that your staff has to solving problems for people in this community. And I get so offended when I hear things that they aren't representing the veterans or that they get hung up on, when you know that that's not the truth, because you know the people that work there are so committed to making sure that the constituents in your area are taken care of. And I just want to say to the person that complained about me doing that interview, oh, well, don't listen. Because bottom line is that they are committed people. I don't know any one of the people there that any politician where you've got your staff members answering the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just want to say that not everybody's going to be happy with you, but I think the majority of the folks in this area trust you and trust the decisions that you make. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that.
Thanks, Ruth.
You know, we really do have a very hardworking staff. Erin is just does exemplary things, and she doesn't take no from a bureaucrat either. Okay, and I encourage that because, as we see in committee, anywhere, they just want to show up and have their little dog shows and stuff and get through the time. We've had our public hearing, now we're down the road again, you know. And there was one just up in Weaverville yesterday that she attended that Board of Reclamation, they've got some new idea of how to rechannel water down the Trinity River system there using water from behind the dams that the dams that the same Board of Reclamation wants to tear out. So they're going to get cold water from behind the dams that is needed. The dams are there to make it have colder water they need for fish passage and Trinity and Klamath, et cetera. Yet a different arm wants to get rid of the dams is out there pushing that. And so they are not even talking from the same sheet of paper there. So that's just one example of, you know, getting around to the meetings and calling out calling out these bureaucrats and finding out they really don't have any answers. They're just making it up as they go. Say, well, we're just worried about this piece right now. Well, you got to worry about the whole system. If you're going to build an aircraft carrier, you have to know it's going to float from bow to stern. You know, I mean, it's just, it's crazy, and I don't know why these people are allowed to operate much aspect of government here, whether it's VA, whether it's the water people, environmental people. I mean, that's why we got to devolve more back to local level, local governments, and keep the decisions local, because the track record of empowering the federal government is not one that gets good.
Well, that leads to something that was said last night. We've only got a few minutes left. That doing away with the really reducing the EPA, IRS, Department of Education, the Department of Energy, and pushing that back down to the states. Do you support that? And why can't, you know, if Congress, and obviously Republicans do, they've talked about it, why can't we start cutting back on all of these? Why can't you all do something to start defunding these guys?
We chipped away at IRS's budget last go-round, and believe me, it's on the Republican side, you know, not making this a partisan deal here, but it's our goal to do that. In order to get an appropriation bill done, you have to compromise with the other side. We have these creatures called Democrats that demand complete opposite things. You have a president down the street that won't sign anything if it doesn't have his stuff in it. So we're kind of taking two or three yards at a time. We'd be loving to throw more, long, 40-yard passes in completing them on this stuff. But what we've been given to work with by the American voters is two terms of the Obama presidency. And he doesn't want to give this stuff. He doesn't want the EPA reeled in. He's cutting them loose to shut down our power plants and come up with new rulemaking all the time to make it that much harder. If he wants the economy to recover, we shouldn't be doing these things. Instead, finding ways to innovate and bring the jobs back to American soil.
Well, how can they put up this new EPA regulations, which we know is going to cut back? I mean, it's going to cost, electricity is going to go sky high, and doing away with all these jobs. How can they do that in the House and the Senate can't stop that somehow?
If the courts uphold that the laws that are already in place empower them to do that, and we can't pass a new bill through the House, through the Senate, past the White House, then they pretty much have the power to do it. And so if we can't take their money away because we would have a government shutdown, because the Dems will fight to make sure that all stays in there, they'll fight to stay the plant, keep the Planned Parenthood money in there, then we're all faced with, like, how far do we go with the stalemate on this and that versus a government shutdown, which, there's many of us like to say, well, let's just shut this sucker down, right? We don't need nearly as much as what they do. But then in the practical effect, it hurts a lot of people because midstream there's people relying on a lot of things, whether that's, firefighting, national security, you name it, and people that legitimately are receiving some level of benefit, that all that comes to a stop because the president uses that leverage during a government shutdown to not help try and make things work the best we can, but to inflict pain on it. You saw it with all the park closures there. There's no reason for those parks to be closed in October of 13, but that was a way to inflict pain and make somebody look bad that's trying to stand for principle, mainly the Republicans in the House at the time, saying that the Obamacare being implemented was going to kill jobs and make it unaffordable. So we always get punished for, a mere 13 or 14-day government shutdown on that. So, these are the things we talk about with what are we able to get out of a situation where we have to come to agreement with the Dems in the House, Dems especially in the Senate, where you don't have 60 Republican votes, and a guy down the street in Pennsylvania, 1600 Pennsylvania, who doesn't want any of this stuff to happen. So
that shutdown was in 2013, though, right?
Yeah, October 2013, yes, sir.
Okay, well, then there was the elections.
That was the Obamacare fight. Go ahead.
Well, but then the elections after that swept even more Republicans in.
Yeah, it did.
So it couldn't have hurt too bad.
How bad Obamacare really was and some other factors that did it. It wasn't because people thought the shutdown was a genius thing. We were able to weather that, and it was far enough before the election that it wasn't as fresh in people's minds as this big problem that the Dems wanted to make it to. They were trying to dust off a war on women over again in 2014. That didn't work either. So there was a general fed-upness by the American public that helped strength of things in 2014 because they weren't seeing answers from the incumbent Dems and the powers that be, such as Harry Reid's example of not running the Senate at all was pretty clear to them when they put people like Joni Ernst in from Iowa and Cory Gardner in Colorado that said, you know, we need a different direction here. And so 2016, we have to continue to try to do that. But the message we need to get to people is like, folks, we need help in the White House, too, because we've seen an exercise of executive power that is unprecedented here.
Yeah. Hey,
he's not playing along with the idea of Constitution and separation of powers and all that. They're usurping that. And our tools are limited, either via budgeting, because we can't get laws passed.
Congressman,
yes, sir.
I'm going to have to break in because we've run out of time. Even when I threw out that last commercial, set of commercials just for you.
God bless you, and I thank you for having me on and for just listening this out, and I appreciate you're putting this out for the public.
Well, you know, we need to do this. You know, people may not agree with you, and we may not agree with you, but we've got to keep this dialogue open. We've got to keep having you and Brian Daly and all the other people on. So thank you so much, Congressman.
I don't mind disagreement at all. This is all talk on the basis of facts. I'm happy with that.
Thanks a lot, Congressman. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. Join us out there at View 202 this Sunday from 11 to 2 for brunch. And remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Thomason in Washington. The latest employment report fueling speculation that the cost of borrowing for a house or a car may soon head higher.
I think it's time to start raising interest rates off of zero because a year from now, interest rates will still be very, very low by historical standards, and the economy will be at full employment.
Moody's Analytics chief economist Mark Zandi, the Commerce Department reports employers hired 215,000 people last month. Who do you think won the Republican presidential debates? Rose Tennant is with Salem radio affiliate AM 1250, The Answer in Pittsburgh. She was there and doesn't think there was a clear victor.
I thought that overall it was good, but I wouldn't say it was an excellent debate. We were somewhat disappointed with the line of questioning. I thought that there were no real shining stars.
University of Virginia political scientist Larry Sabato says Donald Trump didn't do himself